We can honor the reading of the Word of God. In Mark chapter 4, look at just a few verses here and build a thought that hope be helpful in our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because the cross is mighty, that's why people can go places and preach it without thinking about their earthly situation, if it's going to work out well. Because the cross does all the work, and it's got the power, amen. I used to love to get on the phone, Brother Mossbacker. We talk about, when we get to talking about the cross, we get to shouting, we get to crying, and get to praising God, because there's no power like the cross, amen. And so, but in Mark chapter 4, today, beginning in verse number 30, we find Jesus here teaching about the kingdom of God. And it's always good to look at the kingdom of God, because the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. So as we look in these verses today, let's hopefully find the mind of Christ to be able to glorify Him in a greater way. But in Mark chapter 4, in verse number 30, the Word of God does say this, and He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Look at verse 32 is where we get the key thought for the message today. But when it is sown, that's the title. What I'm calling today as I preach the Word of God, but when it is sown. We're going to think about some things about when the seed is sown. I hope give you a vision of how you can follow Christ and have an impact in a way that will bring God glory. Father, help us all that with every single one of us, Thy perfect will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you for standing. We see Jesus here, as always, giving good instruction. He never gave any bad instruction. And He's teaching some principles here to the disciples and regarding the kingdom of God and trying to give them a vision, really a vision of preparation of how to be able to follow God in such a way that they can continue faithful until the return of Jesus Christ or until they leave this earth. Now, but when it is sown, He makes some statements here, and basically we're just looking, examining what Jesus said today. First thing He says, but when it is sown, number one, He makes a statement about being sown in verse 31. The first thing, it is less than all. It is less than all. We see the statement here in verse 31, but when it is sown, but it says, when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Now, he tells him that the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. And when you think about it being less than all, it makes a statement here, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Of every seed that's in the earth, of everything that you would think would have potential or ability, he said a mustard seed is less than any seed you can ever compare it to. And as you and I go forward and we try to sow the seed and be the Word of God, as we try to be the sowers, and the kingdom of God is like many times our labors in the onset, the beginning, is less than all. Less in size. Less in expectation. Less in importance. That's what, when you think about something very small, that's kind of the thing to come to our mind. And we really, as we examine this, we think about the position of the seed when it first really goes into something. And as you and I, as servants of God, as we really try to do the work of the kingdom, our first position must be a position of being less than all. We must place ourselves away from ourselves and it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. And if you and I had this mindset, it would be much easier to continue on, because then we would never get the focus or attention upon ourselves. Now, just a few pages to the right in the book of Mark chapter 9, notice what Jesus says here as He instructs His disciples and try to help them to be faithful followers of Himself. In Mark chapter 9, in verse number 33, the Word of God says this, and He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, He asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, For by the way, they had disputed amongst themselves who should be the greatest. I was meditating on this passage, you know, and I think many times we don't necessarily think if we're the greatest as we try to follow Christian endeavors. Now in the world, of course, they do. They want to know who's the greatest of this and who's the greatest of that. But I think what happens sometimes, we wonder if we're doing enough, and we begin to make a comparison of the people, though we're not really thinking, am I greater than the other person? But sometimes we compare ourselves amongst ourselves to establish if we're actually doing exactly what we need to be doing. But Jesus said, the principle is here. They were fighting about, disputing, arguing, who should be the greatest? I don't know what their basis of arguments was on. Was it on their acts of service? Was it on how many people they healed in comparison to the other person, to the other disciple? What was the basis? Well, no matter what the basis was, Jesus said it was an improper way of valuing. And he said in verse 35, and he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all. And we've talked in recent sermons about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he washed the disciples' feet. He truly became last of all and servant of all. And even in his death on the cross, being last of all, but he's definitely first of all. But if you desire to be that servant, to know that your sowing makes a difference, he said you've got to be last. And he didn't just say last, but last of all and servant of all. And in verse 36, now this is where he really starts, he breaks it down to help us. He says, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them. He said, now I want you to focus on this. He says, okay, now I've just told you something. But he said, now this is the message. He said, and set him in the midst, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So he's saying, now, I just explained to you that if you're going to be first, you're going to be last. He said, I'm putting a child in front of you, and I want you to understand something, that if you receive this child, then you've received the message that I just gave you. And I wrote down something about children. Number one, a child is needy. A child is very needy. So if you're going to receive someone that's very needy, then you begin to understand what you're in for and being last. Because if you receive someone that's very needy, generally you have to put your needs aside to take care of the needs of others. A child is demanding. I was taking a short nap this morning, and Morgan decided I had enough sleep. Amen. And I sleep in the same room, and he just decided that I was done. You know, he was demanding. And he was ready to get up, and that meant I needed to be up, which is okay. And a child, by their nature, they don't mean to do this, but they're selfish. When they want what they want, they want what they want. They don't care what you're doing. I mean, can you imagine? Now, can you imagine me waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and saying to my wife, hey, Susan, would you get up and cook me something to eat? Susan, I'm hungry. Feed me. You know, I would never do that. Now, if you heard I did that, what would you think of me? I'm very what? Selfish, right. But that little guy does that. Sometimes, and if he just did it at 3, she'd be feeling pretty good right now. But here lately, he's been doing it at 11. He's been doing it at 12. He's been doing it at 1. He's been doing it at 3. I mean, that's pretty selfish, you know? I mean, I'm just thinking, son, what? Your mother wants to sleep. Why don't you just wait? But a child is selfish. But Jesus says, you know what? But you know what? You know, this morning at 3 o'clock, my wife just said she had enough. And she just said, no, just cry all night. Of course she didn't. Because she receives the child. And she gets up at 11, and at 1, and at 3, and does the things because she receives that. And because even though he is selfish, she's determined to meet that need. A child is impatient. We cover that in selfishness, really. They don't want to wait. A child cannot physically help you. There's nothing physically that he can really do to benefit our family at this time. A child cannot spiritually help you. There's nothing they can spiritually do that really have you to help you and encourage you to strengthen you. A child cannot financially help you. They can't benefit you in that way. And a child cannot emotionally help you. Most often, when they're little, they try your emotions. And I wrote down finally, you know what? A child, notice this, is only an outlet for the giving up of yourself. A child is only an outlet for the giving up of yourself. And if you receive a little child, then Jesus said, you understand what it's like to be me. You become less than all. And many people do not want children because they don't want to give up themselves. And many people have difficulty with children because they don't give up themselves. You know, as a parent, sometimes I have to give up my desire to be liked, to do that which is right. Amen. And thank God we got things are good in our family right now, but they'll tell you, we've gone through some times where they didn't like me. Is there a witness in the back? Amen, amen. And might be tomorrow, too. I don't know. Hopefully not. I don't think we cross any bridges right now, but that's just the way it goes. Amen. But if I'm right with God and doing that which is right with the Bible, I have to give and even desire and not be liked to do what's right by them. And they open up that door for me to find out that my self-esteem is not as important as their personal well-being. That's what the Bible says. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. When you don't correct your children properly, it's a reflection of your love for yourself and not a love for them. That's just what the Bible says. And Jesus, he said, if you receive this little child, then you're receiving the ministry that I have for you. Now, Rachel, anybody here glad for the Lord Jesus Christ today? Anybody here glad? If you're glad, anybody here sometimes needy for the help of Christ? I think that's me, yeah. Anybody here sometimes, when you pray, don't you kind of want God to help you right then? I mean, aren't you a little bit maybe demanding when you pray? Amen. And when you pray, aren't you? Have you ever found out that something you asked God for or Jesus for was really just maybe selfish? You know, has that ever happened? You know, maybe it's just me, but I found a few of my prayers were selfish. And I don't know, I'm kind of strange, you know. When I'm asking God for something, though I know His timing is best, sometimes I really would like God to answer my prayer according to the timing that I have planned. You know, I'm not quite as patient as I should be. And ever want God's help and maybe a little bit impatient for God to do something? Ever pray for something and it doesn't look like it's happening quite as quick as it can be? You know, and personally, there's nothing physically I can really do to benefit God. Because He's all-powerful, right? The Bible, He owns everything, the Bible says. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So physically, there's nothing I can really do for Him. Now, He wants me to serve Him, that honors Him, but He really doesn't need my help. Because, you know, whether I honor Him or not, His position, His power, and His presence always remains completely intact. Amen. Because guess what? God's on the throne whether or not I serve Him. If I start today and never serve God again, He will still be the almighty, unchangeable God. And He'll still have just as much power as He did before I quit serving Him. Amen. And so there's nothing physically I can do to help Him, but He likes it if I bring Him glory. And since I can't physically help Him, I surely can't spiritually help Him. It's not like God needs me to help Him get His work done, but He wants to use me to get His work done. He chooses to. And guess what? His spiritual strength, He has just as much power to save with and without me. So He doesn't really need my spiritual help. And I already said He owns everything, so He sure doesn't need my financial help. And he's emotionally strong. He's emotionally pure. Everything, He's always right. There's never a bad or wicked thought or unrighteous thought that goes through the mind of God. So He sure doesn't need my emotional help. So God, maybe one of His children, just so, as an outlet of the giving of Himself. God gives me His love. He gives me His grace. His Son gave me His blood. He gave me His Holy Spirit to direct me, to guide me. He allows me to share some of this earth that's His. He gives me food from this earth. He gives me water that He made. He gives me the air to breathe that He made. Everything He did, He created me simply as an outlet to show the reality of a loving God. And Jesus says, if you receive a child like that, then you receive me. And you understand something what it's like to be less than all. But in my mind, and my God is exalted above everything, that the holy and righteous, perfect God of the universe will lower himself to be not just concerned, but consumed with me. You ever think about that God really is consumed with you? Because think about this. The Bible says that in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, and we know. Now, know is a pretty definite statement. Then say we wonder, and we kind of lean toward this understanding. No, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You ever think about how much energy it would take and how much effort it would take that for everything that takes place in your life, it can work for good if you love it? I mean, think a lot of us are pretty busy about nothing sometimes. Think how busy a lot of us are. All things work together for good. Even when you do something dumb, by his grace, as you love him, God can turn it and do you something favorable. I've told you before, there's a time I've been backslidden and listen to worldly music and God still speaks to my heart and chasing me and use that thing because he knows in my heart I really want to love him, though I was turned aside from him for that moment of time. Sometimes you're backslidden, heading a different direction away from God, and God drops a blessing in your lap, and you're like, wow, how'd that work out for good? I wasn't doing God's will, and I still get blessed out of it. All things, because he knew your heart. He knew your heart. It's like David. The Bible talks about David, you know, that he was a man perfect after God's own heart, and we know the sin that he committed, sin of adultery, but he always talked about his perfect heart, and we see God always working in the life of David, always working things out and blessing the life of David. And how much more the children today, if you serve him, you follow him, how much more God has to be consumed with you. He's watching everything. Hey, he knows the number of your hairs. How much he is consumed with you. And I think about this. As much as he does and how consumed he is with us, how little glory he really gets from us. And how the person that gives so much, though his power is intact, his person is intact, he really, in the eyes of this world, if you really took a poll of his creation, he's truly less than all. But I still want to serve him. He's still the best of all. Number two, but when it is sown, back to our text here. But when it is sown, the kingdom, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says, first of all, in verse 31, when it is sown in there, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Number two, but when it is sown, it groweth up. Now, the first, it talks about a position of the seed, and now we see kind of a promise regarding the seed. It doesn't say here, when the seed is sown, it should grow up. It said, it groweth up. We know verses like Isaiah chapter 55. You might write this down, verse 11. Jesus says, so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But shall accomplish the thing thereunto I said. I think Mark texted me that verse this week. The word of God will never return void. It groweth. It groweth up. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16, the word of God says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now hold your place here. Let's turn there for just a minute. Hold your place there in the book of Mark chapter 4. Turn toward the end of your Bible. Look at 2 Timothy. I want to look at this verse for a second. Just remind, stir up your mind away from mind. I had that Texas draw on mind for a moment there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. Notice what the Bible says here. Okay, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's why I'm so hard always saying, quote the Bible to people. Give the word of God to people. Because it's profitable. All of it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. That's teaching. So he lets us know, first of all, that a teaching. But now he's going to tell us what is the teaching that it does. It says, for reproof, for correction, and no hand, but for instruction in righteousness. So, now if you really think about the reality of what we just read here, so the teaching that the Word of God is profitable for is for reproof. Now, reproof is blame expressed to the face. That means the Word of God is prophesying, hey, you're going the wrong way. You're wrong. You're in sin, or whatever. You blew it. It's also responsible for correction. Okay, now that you know you're wrong, let me show you where you're wrong, so you can know how to fix it. You can correct it. And then instruction in righteousness. Now, this is what you do to get out of it, to walk in. Now, here's some instruction on how to walk right with God. Now, two-thirds of what the Word of God is profitable for is negative, if you really think about it. So, two-thirds of my messages are probably more negative than positive, if you really think about it, if I'm preaching the Word of God properly. And the instruction in righteousness. But you know why that is? Because we're sinners. And God knows what we need the most. And he's trying to purge us and cleanse us. So he designed a formula to get us straightened out. And he's trying to get us to say, wait, it's your fault. And it's my fault. And he says, I'm trying to correct your way, correct your way of thinking, correct your way of action. And now here's the instruction, because sure, don't fix it yourself. You can't fix it. And so the Word of God, the seed, in the parable of sower, Luke 8, 11, the Bible says the seed is the Word of God. He said the seed, it groweth up. And the seed, the Word of God, is profitable. Now, turn back to Mark chapter 4. And this was kind of, I love the Bible. And I love every word of God. You know, when God puts words in, he doesn't make mistakes. And this was rather unique to me. I'm a little bit slow, but I was just looking at the word grow. Now, Jesus says right here, when it is sown, it groweth up. Now, the word grow, by definition, it means to enlarge in bulk or stature. Enlarge in size, we go along with that. But it also means, this is good, an imperceptible addition of matter. That means it's something that cannot be seen, amount of growth. Now, imperceptible means not to be known or discovered by the senses. So when the seed grows, it adds, but you can't detect that it's growing. An imperceptible addition of matter. I mean, if anybody looked in your life the day you got saved, I mean, you heard the Bible just like any other day. And to those looking on, they didn't know what was going on in your heart. In fact, you tried to hide what was going on, most likely. Depending on how you were getting, how God was working on you. You didn't want anybody to know that you were under conviction, you know. I mean, I swear I was. Are they looking at me? Whatever. But the Word of God was growing. And there was something going on in my heart that could not be determined by the senses. There's people in this room right now that are not saved yet. And the seed is growing. I mean, they're under great conviction, under great weight, and they're hoping nobody notices that it bothers them that they don't know Christ. But that's because of the Word of God. It's growing. Because God called this church to preach the Word of God, to preach Christ, and we heard about the singing of the power of the cross. I mean, you didn't know your testimony would have such an impact on Michael Wu, but it was growing. It was growing. It was growing. It was imperceptible by the senses, but it was growing. And many times in your own life, when you're following God, the Word of God is working in you, and you don't really realize it. You don't think much is going on, but all of a sudden you find there's strength to do that which is right that you didn't have before. How'd that happen? Well, it was growing. It was growing. It was growing. Nobody could see it, and guess what? You couldn't even sense it. And sometimes you feel the most brokenhearted, and sometimes you feel the most wicked, and sometimes you feel like God can't do anything with you. It's growing. It's growing. I mean, I think sometimes I've helped people the most is when I feel like, God, why don't you just throw me away somewhere and start with somebody else that could do better? And then all of a sudden, God will just leave me to do something that's simple, and I'll encourage somebody and strengthen somebody. I said, man, I was just right on time. How'd you know what I needed? Well, I didn't know. The Holy Spirit did. It was growing. It was growing. It was growing. See, but when it is sown, it's less than all. It's a commitment to nothingness regarding yourself. A commitment to work with the needy, to work with the demanding, to work with the selfish, to work with the impatient, to work with those that cannot physically help you, to work with those that cannot spiritually help you, to work with those that cannot financially help you, to work with those that cannot emotionally help you. Basically, it would be like when you have a child. and it's less than all. But when it is sown, it grows. Because the Word of God works. I was thinking, I think of when I preached my mother's funeral, Kay Best had taught my Sunday school class when I was a kid. She did the funeral. And after I preached the funeral, she talked to her church. She said, "Man, I never would have expected you to be the preacher." But she didn't know something God knew. God knew that it was worth for her to sow the seed. And even though this young person stuck on himself, in love with himself, arrogant, prideful, whatever you can imagine, the seed was breaking him down. The seed was getting into his heart, and the seed was telling him that you're not as good as you think you are. You need me, though you don't think you need me. You think you can live life without me and enjoy it, but you're going to need me one day because I made you to need me. And it was growing, and it was growing, and it was growing. And then I said, "I'll just be religious. I can do this God thing without God, really, you know? I can read this Bible. I can imitate these principles. I can go to church and look like everybody else looks. I can sing like everybody else sings. In fact, I can sing better than they can sing, even without God's help." I never said that out loud, but I said it in my heart. But thank God there was preachers that just kept preaching the Word of God. And though they didn't even know where I was at, God did. And though there was a growth taking place that was imperceptible to the senses, that nobody could see, and it was growing. And they just kept sowing. And as they would sow, it would grow. They would sow, it would grow. They would sow, it would grow. Until one day I couldn't take it anymore. "Father, I need Jesus." Amen. But it grows. And after it grows, number three, it becometh greater than all the herbs. Now, this little seed that was less than all of importance, but looking at all other seeds in the earth, in the beginning, this really isn't important. But now in the end, it's more important than all. I was thinking of examples. We talked about Lazarus on Wednesday night. A beggar. Beggar have so bad off, he's wanting crumbs from a rich man's table. The dogs coming. The only medicine he got to take care of himself. He didn't have whole hip, he had dog hip. Amen. Dogs licking on him, taking care of his sores. But you know what? And I was thinking about this. Now, when the rich man, now this is even good too. Now here's this beggar, a certain beggar, less than all the earth, a rich man. The eternal, inerrant, infallible Word of God remembers his name. But the rich man, not even worthy to have his name mentioned. The rich man, not just any rich man, but he fared sumptuously. He did quite well for himself every day. And here's this old Lazarus, less than all, eternally being remembered, being preached about in services all over the world. Now he's greater than all. And you think about this too. Now, the Bible says there's a great gulf that was fixed between them. And so I believe that this rich man couldn't see where Lazarus was at. But he knew about his testimony. He knew that he knew where he had to be. And he knew, even in his darkened, damned condition, damned in sin, that this he knew that Lazarus he knew what Lazarus had. So though he was less than all, now he became greater than all. This poor beggar that this rich man had no concern to help. He said, "Man, now this," he said, "he's the answer to my brothers." When the rich man thought his money was the answer, I was witnessing some young men in the YMCA last night. I just wouldn't, my mind wasn't there for playing basketball last night, so I was sitting there and I was witnessing this young man. I was telling him, I know this kid's struggling. He's trying to run with this drug crowd. I said, and I was telling some things about Christ, and I said, I want you to think about something. When you see those guys hold those wads of bills, and they got so much money, and they're so much your friends, why do they never just pull $100 off and just say, hey man, it's yours, you can have it? I mean, and really, they're that rich, and they got that kind of money, and they're doing so great for themselves. Why don't you just wrap $100 off the back and say, hey, you can have that? I said, because they're not really rich. I said, that's front money. That money belongs to somebody else. They got to carry that money and they have to account for that money. And they got when the guy that really has the money shows up, they got to get that money back to him, and they let him hold himself because he's holding their money. Because if they really were your friends and they really were trying to help you, when they got that stack of bills like that, they just rattle, hey man, you keep that with no conditions. Because what they normally do, they wrap up maybe a 20. Sometimes they wrap up a 20 or something, help you with this or that. But then it comes with a condition. I will help you this time, but next time. Because man, if I had water bills like that even today, man, somebody always got needs, I'd just wrap them off. Hey, but sometimes when I got one when my stack is this then, I still wrap them off and give them away. Wrap it off and give it away. Because God says to do it. Do what the Holy Spirit says, amen. That's the best thing to do. Even when it goes to my own financial hurt, that's okay. Because that's the way it is with children, right? That's their need. And that's the life that God called me to live. And I'm thankful for it. I wouldn't want to live any other way. But Moses. Now we talk about Lazarus, now think about Moses. Now Moses, the Bible says that Moses was meek above all men on the face of the earth. He became less than all. That means he was humble more than any person on the face of the earth. And he became that way because the Bible says in Hebrews that he, just Hebrews 11, I could kind of quote it, but I'll read it. Amen. We got time. Some of you have been nervous late home all day. I can't wait to get the church to be preaching the Word of God today. I hope he preaches a long time today. Am I dreaming? I can still dream, amen. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24, the Word of God says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, that means when he was able to make decisions for himself, when he was free, totally to do anything he wanted to do, this was his choice. He said, refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, I don't want that title. I don't want that authority. I don't want that prestige. I don't want that power. He said, choosing rather to suffer the affliction, to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's because he was meek. He said, he had a right to live that life. He was appointed to him. He was earthly free to have that position, that power, that authority. But he said, no, I'm going to be meek. I'm going to be a servant. And then he said in verse 26, esteeming. Now, this is, if you like words in the Bible, understand he didn't say choosing rather. Now, he made a choice earlier. But see, esteeming means this is what he really valued. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. See, many people choose the reproach of Christ instead of riches. But they can't continue. But man, he esteemed it. That means this is what he was looking for. This is what he really wanted to happen. I mean, amen. If I get esteemed like Christ, and esteeming the reproach of Christ, if I get reproached like Christ, man, that means that people really think I'm like Jesus. And he became so low, but yet the Bible records him for all eternity. The man Moses was meek above all the men on the face of the earth. I think of John the Baptist. The Bible tells us of his, in Mark, since we're in the book of Mark, look at Mark chapter 1. We see something about the beginning of John the Baptist. In Mark chapter 1, in verse number 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now notice John here. And John was clothed with camel's hair. Man, John was quite fashionable. And with a girdle about his skin, about his loins. He didn't have, like they had clothing back then. They had nice fabric. They had linens and cloth. But man, he had camel's hair. See, John bought his clothes as something less than Value Village, amen. I like Value Village, but John got him, and by the way, they're 50% off on Monday. So if you want to go early, though, if there's anything good. But he got less than that. He said he had clothes of camel's hair, and about his loins was a skin. I mean, it's a skin of an animal. I mean, a dried out skin of an animal. And notice his diet. He did eat locusts and wild honey. I mean, he could have had beasts. I mean, he could have whatever meats they ate at that time. But he had locusts and wild honey. Anybody's mouth watering? Leo, can I take you out to lunch today and have some locusts and wild honey? You up for that? Some locusts and wild honey. How did he crunch in his mouth, you know? Maybe with a chocolate cover. You know, you chocolate cover anything, it's good. People eat chocolate covered ants, you know, but you can't taste the ant with all the chocolate on it. But the locusts and wild honey. Now, in Bible college, they never said to aspire to this type of position, you know. In fact, in Bible college, the one that I walked out of, because they were concerned about the public image. Everything was about, you know, professionalism. You have to put the appointment in. You're a preacher of the Word of God. Be respectful. And I don't think I should look like a buffoon, but at the same time, this man that was, he was less at all. He's got camel's hair. Camel's hair. And about his loins, he's got skin. Didn't he say what kind of skin? And his diet. Now, John, I don't think John had a weight problem either. Because you can only eat so much locusts and wild honey in one day, right? There's ought to be a glutton on locusts and wild honey, you know. He probably didn't battle a lot of things. But you know what the Bible says about John? There was none greater born among women than John the Baptist. So here's one that was less than all, but now is greater than all. There's none greater born among women than John the Baptist. That's pretty solid testimony. But he was willing to be less than all for the kingdom of God's sake. And now, for all eternity, the words of Jesus Christ say he's greater than all. When it is sown. But when it is sown. So the promise is that he grows and becomes greater than all. The position you and I have, we have to be less than all. The only problem is, very simply, it's got to be sown. If it's not sown, the whole formula stops. When it's sown, the position says we're less than everything. But the promise is it will grow. It'll be imperceptible to the senses, but it will grow. It will grow. You work with people sometimes, and God will work with you sometimes, and it seems like absolutely nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. But it grows. And it grows. Just stay faithful. Stay focused on God. And trust in his promise that it grows. And then one day, probably not this side of eternity, you'll see, wow, greater than all. I was thinking, my wife said this to me one day, Mr. Padden, my calculus teacher and geometry teacher, he said that I would be the most famous person to ever graduate from our high school. And that was nothing I really, in my mind I was so arrogant I already thought I was. I'm just being honest. And I never thought about anything like that. When I became less than all, when I left everybody's expectations, you're going to do what? You're going to be a what? You're going to be a preacher? You're going to Canada?
And then the family's saying, oh, he'll never get to Canada. He's never going to make it to Canada. I mean, that old Reiner, he's just dreaming. He's crazy, you know. I don't know what. You're going to walk with your children? What? You're going to homeschool? What? You got rid of your TV? What? How will your kids survive? All these different things, when we just became less, little by little. Now, when I was in university, going to be an industrial engineer, they were all, man, my manager's got a vision, he's got potential. He's got all these things, you know. But you know, now, when I became less and all. Even this side, God, by His grace, allowed me to be greater than all. Greater than what I've become. To be known in places all around the world. I don't mean that by arrogancy, but just by places because I traveled and preached in like 30 different states. Now, it's not really an earthly fame, but I am known more than I probably would have been in that way. And it was nothing I was looking for, especially after giving up to Christ. I could care less about being known. But my wife just brought to my attention, and he said, you never realize what he said? It is true now. And it's all because, and I always think about Miss Ware, my first grade teacher, when she's whipping the fire out of me in the hallway. Because I can't, what I did. I did so much in those days. I can't remember all the times, all the reasons I got spanked for. But she said, Ryan, you have the power to lead this class. For the first grade, I'm thinking, man, I don't hear that. That's old school, man. That's when they got it done. Man, they got their attention back then. If they got you that, and I wonder someday, did she have a vision? I mean, I wonder if she was a Christian one day and knew something I didn't. God, when I used to teach Sunday school, something I'd be sitting with one of those little young kids, and I said, God had a special purpose for all of them, but sometimes the Holy Spirit just says, you need to really pray for this one. And I was talking to Mark and Michael Wu, you know, I didn't know my name actually means counselor. And I thought, my parents never planned for me to be in the ministry, preaching and counseling people. But see, nothing is a surprise to God. I mean, God knows these things. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I hope you understand the way I mean what I'm saying. I had to become less in the eyes of the world of what they thought would be a good occupation and a good life for me and a good... But now I'm just a preacher. But I thank God I've been able to help people in a lot of different places I never would have been able to. And you know what's better than that? God's got the same plan for you. Not necessarily, you might not preach like God would have me to preach. Hope you don't preach like me. You may be a preacher. Hope you preach better. But if you will take time to sow. You have to be prepared initially to sow properly. You got to just, at the onset of the sowing, what you're doing is less and all. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. But it's like sowing. Because think about this. I mean, you got friends. They don't, most of them, if they don't have Christian values, they don't care. They don't think anything about you being in church on Sunday. If you have a job that's open on Sunday, they just assume you'd be there. And you got friends. Every time they plan some activity, when they plan it on Sunday. Every cookout, every barbecue, everything that's going on, every recreation, when is it? On Sunday. Family reunion, when they at? On Sunday. Some of them they go to church first and some of them they don't. You know, everything is day, Sunday, everything. And they don't think nothing about your value to be here. And in their mind, what this time you're spending with some crazy guy hollering at you. they don't think anything about that time. They don't think about that. They don't think about the time. And people think, well, man, what are you doing at 3 o'clock in the morning studying your Bible for? Well, they don't think anything about that time. So what are you doing up crying over people that at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning? Are you okay? See, bless. It didn't seem like a very worthwhile adventure to some people sometimes at the beginning. Why are you passing out tracks and you're going up and down the street and next thing you come back down the same street and you see somebody threw it on the ground? I mean, is that worth it? It just seems like less than all.
Why are you making an attempt to be holy? These people around you don't appreciate you trying to be like God, trying to be like Christ. And I mean, you're a lot more popular if you just act like all the other heathens are, you know? And you fit in a lot more. They treat you with a lot more respect if you just be like them and just try to be cool or whatever the common word is. But when it is sown, when righteousness is sown, what's wrong with you? Who do you think you are? Seems less than all. Less than all. But you know what? You sow that seed. You know what? If you sow it, when it is sown, it grows. Every righteous time you know, there's an old saying that when you throw a stick into a pack of dogs, the one that yells one get hit, and you try to look righteous before your friends and they're crying, they got hit. Just think, man. Just next time it happens, if you're trying to be holy before God and somebody calls you something or says something about you, just think, it's growing. Just goes to where and say, yes. Lord, you were right. Lord, you were right. It's growing. Though you can't really see it because they're acting like it's not affecting them, but it's growing. It's growing. That means there's going to be a harvest. Because the harvest is plenty. Plenty is. But the labor is a few. How much are you sowing? Well, I should ask this first. How much are you growing? Well, you can't see it anyway. But where's the expectation of growth? And the expectation of growth probably is based on the amount of love you're sowing. But see, the joy is just, it's just like our little son Morgan back there. The joy is just taking care of him. You know, he went this spell the past 2 weeks where he just wants to be held or he's just going to scream, you know. So my wife and I are taking shifts, you know. I can't nurse him, but as soon as she's done feeding him, she's just passing him over, and I just go hold him till he goes to sleep, you know. And I looking down at him, I said, boy, why don't you go to sleep, you know. And he just look up and smile real big, 2 o'clock in the morning. But you know what it is? I said, that's what I had him to give to him. I didn't have him to give somebody else to raise. I thank God for our children to help out and do a lot of things that do help with him, but for the most part, my wife and I, we tow the load because that's why we had him. To give, even them. I like giving to them. I like taking care of their needs. Which had more to take care of more of their needs because that's why I had them. I had them. That's why people said, when the girl was 20 and 18, and what are they doing? Are they going somewhere? So I hope they're waiting on the Lord. I'm not trying to get them out of the house to do something for me. I had them to take care of them until God takes them somewhere else. Because I want them to leave whenever God wants them to leave. But I had them to take care of them. And I willingly take care of them as much as I can, as much as I possibly can. Until the day that God designates that they go do something else. I'm not ready to say anything about it. Because I had them to give to them. Why do you know I came to Canada? To give to you. To give my time, to give my talents, to give my treasures. I said, by the grace of God, I guess it's grace to be known. Sometimes it's better to be unknown, but I'm not here to be known. I mean, I just could be asked one time, why don't you go somewhere else? I mean, because like some family friends, they like to hear about me preaching in some place, a 500 larger church. But, and there's some religious friends I have, I went to Bible college with, you know, oh man, you preach at that church, man. They let you preach there. They asked you to preach there. Oh, but then one guy was preaching for this real well-known church in the United States, and he said, they let you preach there? And he said, oh, you probably preached on a Sunday night, didn't you? Because that wasn't, you know, it is my important slot. He said, when did you preach? Well, they did ask me. I did preach a Sunday morning. It's all the same to me. But then, what do you mean for church? In a library. You mean a library? But you know, to the world, this is less than all. But you know what? You know why this is everything to me? Because right now in this room are people that Jesus shed his blood for. Just like in a church of brick and stone and mortar and however big it may be. I like he said his testimony, he's glad to be in the house of God. They may call it a library, but for this purpose and time, the Holy Ghost of God said, this is the house of God. And it may be less and all, but you know what? I came to sow today. I'm sowing. And you know what? And I'm just crazy enough to believe God that although, you know, sometimes I come and I know you won't believe this, but I preach the Word of God, and sometimes people sleep while I'm preaching. You know, I know you don't believe that. And some people lose focus, their minds are daydreaming and everything. But you know what? It's still growing. It's still growing. And I'm just crazy to believe that even in the times when somebody's drifting off and not here with me, that it's growing. It's growing. And so I just keep sowing. And I keep sowing because out here, what I'm looking for is not really here. I believe that in this room, there's going to be some herbs that become greater than all. And that's my vision of the soil. Because I've got the greatest thing I could ever have already. I've got Jesus Christ. And I'm saved by the grace of God. And so I just want to sow, watch you grow, and watch God take you to be something you never thought you could be. Or even better than that, let you forget about what you thought you should be and let God make you what He wants you to be. And you find, man, why did I even think that I want to be that? God is so much better than I ever could have possibly imagined. Invitation simple today, would you say? Kingdom of Heaven, most important thing you'll ever do. Are you willing, if you're a child of God today, are you willing to be less than all? Are you willing to be like Christ, which is to be despised and rejected of men? I mean, if you're saved, I think you're glad Jesus did what He did, aren't you? So why not be like Him so that He can be that to somebody else? Be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be less than all. Trust God that you will grow and that when God makes you greater than all, it's something that'll last. Again, this old beggar Lazarus, man. When we get nervous if we don't have money to buy milk and bread and the refrigerator looks kind of empty. Or, man, how can we always have to buy stuff that's on sale? And this, man, this, imagine, this old man waiting at the table. Don't have any leftovers. I've gone out to a restaurant sometime. Actually, my wife and I were somewhere downtown. Oh, where were we at? In whatever the underground mall thing is called. I can't think of what it is, but downtown Toronto, we went to the food court, and this lady was down there, and she was waiting for people to leave their food that they were finished eating. And after they left, I mean, I saw the one, they were just one person, they were throw their food away. And she said, are you done with that? And she stopped them, and I said, yeah. And so she ate the food that was left. That was the life of Lazarus. You think about that, and I just thought about it, you know. Now you and I, what if that woman was saved? Now, you would never want to be in that situation, but think about this. If you're without Christ, you're going to die, separated from God. You're going to experience that flame of torment. And this person that you would look back upon and think you'd never want to be like, be resting with God the Father forever. Be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Living and reigning with Christ 1,000 years on the earth. Just a common beggar. But you know what? God knows the name of beggars. And He recorded this one for all the time. His name was Lazarus. And he was less than all, but he sure is greater than all. Lazarus is my brother. Amen. I could spend forever with him. I bet Lazarus had a pretty, you know, during the millennial reign of Christ, and I bet Lazarus would have a pretty good table at his house. This man used to beg for the rich man a table. Hey, let's go have dinner at Lazarus' house tonight. And he's putting the spread on. Amen.
God is,
you know, so we just really have to get beyond our worldly values and value what God values. And then we'll sow like we need to sow. And we'll be content. See, the thing about growing is we have to, that's God's part. We're content about whatever growing God sees. But just keep sowing. Sow righteousness. Sow reading the Word of God. Sow prayer. Sow soul winning. Witness, all those things. Sow. And be consistent and trust God that even if things aren't moving as fast as you think they should, be faithful. Be faithful. The growth is taking place. And then, you know what? When you become the greatest verbs, because you've been sowing righteously, you won't really even know it. Because your eyes will still be on the one that sowed righteousness in your heart, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're without Christ today, stop denying Jesus. Turn your life over to Him. You know you need Him. Because it's been growing in you. If you're a saved person, aren't you tired of eating the junk that the world has to offer? Aren't you tired of having values that you know just don't last? Aren't you tired of just being insecure and worried about this, worried about that? Man, just get so. And you may hop on a plane and be in the Philippines tomorrow with 25 cents in your pocket, amen. And you'll be having the time of your life because it's for the glory of God. You may get on the train and go to Timmy tomorrow. I told Brother Joy, I'm just tempted to go up there with you. I had to start church, but I'd love to. I mean, I'd love to go some place, wherever, anywhere. But I'm where I'm supposed to be right now.